I think that the theme music is so important to the podcast because I love it. So if you want your very own podcast music, hit up DJ Studio Man anytime. He's going cheap, like $5,000. Super cheap.
No way, dude.
Come on now. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Dr. Dex podcast. I am known as Dr. Dex. My name is Jason Russell. This is my son, DJ Studio Man.
Hello.
Also known as Calvin Russell, musician extraordinaire, ringmaker, videographer, straight general gangster.
Music stuff.
Lots of music stuff. Are you finding the balance? Married?
I won't get into it, but no.
Okay. Hey, dude, you know what? I've spent my whole life trying to find the balance, and mine's more work-related than anything. And today we're going to pivot. We are pivoting.
Why are we pivoting?
We're quite pivotal today because we had a cancellation on our guest list. And I didn't have, you know, it's really hard when you're trying to do one of these a week and you have a guest and doo-doo happens, things come up, people forget stuff. I mean, I don't because I write everything down in a calendar. Very orchestrated, very organized. Mom does that for me. So
you write it down.
She writes it down in my phone. And then all I got to do is look at it and go, what do I have going on today? Oh, at 8 o'clock I have this. At 12 o'clock I have that. At 5 o'clock I have a bid. Blah, blah, blah. And I don't understand. It's really novel, man. Every single person on earth has one of these in their cell phone, if you have a cell phone. And I know this person did because I called her on her cell phone, and she has a phone. I sent a text message, which she replied to. So I know she had, and it was our first female guest that we were going to have on our podcast.
We'll get her next week.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what's cool. Okay, this is what I'm finding out. So somebody cancels this week, and, you know, sometimes, so she said she can't. So then I immediately pivot. And I'm like, okay, how about this guy? I got this other guy. And I saw him last week at the show, but it was such short notice. I'm like, hey, man, it's Friday, 3 o'clock. You want to be on my podcast in an hour, 2 hours? You know, it's like, oh, dude, no, I got to check. You know, I got family, got a weekend. I'm like, yeah, I feel you. So then I was like talking to Studio Man. I'm like, our guest canceled. What about tomorrow? Maybe I can find somebody for tomorrow, but one day's notice just ain't enough. So we're going to talk. What are we talking? I sent you a couple topics. Are we talking about both of those topics? Or
let's see where the night takes us. But you just got back from, which one?
Oh.
I can't keep up with all
the events.
These JLCs and these IBSs.
And deck expos and things. Okay, so we just went to let's start with that. Let's start with that. So we just went to an event. I took Mom with me. People are starting to get to know Kiki a little bit better, my wife. And she's getting her own little, like, I don't know, like, persona going on, right? And so we'll go to these events. And then some of these events, so we'll talk about the trade shows. And then we'll talk about why we're at the trade shows. And part of the reason why I take Kiki is because we bend decking. We're deck board benders. We're heat benders, right? We manipulate manufacturers' decking products, and we turn them into curved shapes, circles, designs, all kinds of cool stuff. So we go to this event, which is a long distance away from us. So we're invited to go and hang out in some of our vendors' booths, our sponsors, whatever you want to call them, people that may hire us to represent their brand through social media or because of what we build and we use a certain thing and blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, hey, you want to, and it's cool because I really enjoy the trade shows better when I have my companion, my wife, along with me. And that's just because it just makes it for more of a fun event for me. And then we get to hang out a little bit in between, but it's not really like a vacation. It's not a vacation at all. It's actually a lot of work. It's exhausting work because you get, first of all, you're 3 hours difference, right?
Right. Usually.
So I bounce, you know, so for us to get to the East Coast, it's a 6-hour flight if you don't have a layover. But unfortunately, to get to Providence, Rhode Island, and Boston through Delta, Which is what I like to fly, because I have a lot of points and miles and stuff. So I don't really want to fly on Alaska, because I got 1,000,000 miles, right? And I need to spend those miles. And usually what I do is I'll have a sponsor pay us for a basic flight ticket. And then I take my points and I upgrade to first class whenever possible.
Mm. I would start building points on American.
It's kind of a gangster way. Oh, because we're going. Well, I can do that because I have part of them are through American Express and part of them are through Delta. So I can take
American Airlines.
I can go. I think I can log in to American Express, and I think I can get points for any airline I want.
Oh,
but I like Delta because we have Benny's there. We can get into any Sky Lounge we want. So at any airport that I fly Delta, I can get into their Sky Lounge.
American's the same.
Yeah.
I think they have even more than Delta.
Didn't they go bankrupt, though?
What, American?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm.
But
probably not.
American has always come in clutch for me personally.
But that's because you're flying to South America, though.
Well, I have to fly within the States first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there could be different places, because you can't go direct from Seattle. So I either go to Dallas, New York, sometimes New Jersey, whatever. And then that's when I go to South America.
Mm-hmm.
Then, there's been a lot of times where there'll be, a problem. Things will be late or there'll be some sort of delay.
Mm-hmm.
But they make it up in the air.
Cool.
So, there was a time where the flight was delayed, 30, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a connecting flight in an hour,
mm-hmm.
Which means you have to be on the plane in 45 minutes. Because what people don't realize is 15 minutes before they close the doors on the airplane, you can't get on.
Yeah,
and it leaves at the time.
And then you don't have any overhead bin space either. If you get on the plane last, you are screwed. And I hate that. I think. On a plane, like that, where you're sitting, that's your overhead bin space first.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh.
You dirty, rotten scoundrels. You need to leave that space available to the people sitting in that seat. Now, in Florida especially, because there's a lot of old people in Florida, and they come up with every excuse in the book to get on the plane first.
Old people do like to do that.
They do like to do that. You old people, just wait your turn. If you're in zone 4, don't get on before first class just because you're old. I have a limp too. Okay, I'm just as handicapped as you are, but I'm not getting on the plane first because of my special need, right? And then don't take my overhead bin space. I'm so furious about that. It's such a minor but major thing to me.
Because what happens if you put it behind where you sit,
you're screwed.
Everyone's coming down your lane, so it's like someone might take an extra second to get their stuff, so you're like moving, zigzagging in between rows to try to get back to your thing. But what I was saying was it was like 30, 45 minutes delayed,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll arrive 20 minutes earlier than
imagined. I love it when a pilot drops a hammer on a plane
and it's like, oh, I was stressing for hours about nothing, but I didn't know that until I landed.
I got a story for you.
But I'm just going to say I've had very, very negative experiences with Delta.
Yeah.
And I don't want, to the point where it's like I don't ever want to fly them again.
What about Spirit?
No. Frontier, too?
Beep. So when I was 18 years old, I flew to Hawaii. I flew over to Hawaii to spend some time with my family. And I left on a separate flight back. I was going back and I was staying with my grandfather. And this guy had a heart attack on the plane. And he died. But nobody knew that. But I went up and I looked at this guy. I don't know why. Oh, I know why. Because it was one of those flights back in the 80s where they're like, if anybody will give up your seat and sit in the smoking section, we will give you free drinks all the way home. And I rose my hand. I was only 19 years old.
You said you were 18.
Well, 18 or 19. I think I was 19.
Okay.
So I raised my hand, and this is when I used to drink. And I wasn't even legal. I wasn't even old enough to drink. And they were just feeding me alcohol like it was. I had to sit in the smoking. They used to have smoking on a plane.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sitting back in the smoking section.
Weren't the seats wider too?
Oh, yeah. And plenty of space. There's plenty of space for the smoke to move around you.
I've seen some of these shows set in like the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, the seats are huge and they can like stretch out. Was this historically accurate?
Yes.
What's going on?
You call that corporate greed is what you call that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happens to companies when they get big. And they figure out, they got these bean counters in this little office, smaller than this studio, probably the size of your vocal booth. And they figure out ways to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's what happened there.
Yeah.
So this guy is, I think I'm drunk. And they say, is there any doctors on the plane? And I immediately jump up. I don't know why, but I immediately jump up and I run up to this nurse, the state. I go, is this going to affect how many drinks I get for the rest of the flight or something? I think I was just like concerned for myself, of course. And I go up and this guy's on the floor and he's purple. I go, ooh, he's dead. And I got me a little somber. So I went back to my seat. But dude, as soon as that happened, you could tell the jet got immediately faster. He went like 100 miles an hour faster than we were going. You could tell because it kind of puts you back in your seat. And we hit Seattle in record time. So I know you airlines, all of you airlines out there, you guys can go faster. I know you can.
Well, some can't, right? Because there's like thousands literally of flights
yeah,
every day.
Yeah. FAA and crap.
But it's like, so if... It makes sense if you're late. Like, you make up for the time where your travel spot, like, because they're in, like,
yeah,
lines.
You're at 30,000 feet. You got to be back. You got to land. You still got to land at this time. Yeah, we should have a professional pilot on the show. Any pilots that want to be on this podcast, hit us up. We have questions we need answers to.
I'm down for that.
You know, I've actually done work for a couple pro pilots, and they seem like they have... I don't want to be judgmental, but like they really have, not that they're full of themselves, but they have a really important, like this one guy, he would fly to Hong Kong. He had the primo job on the airline. He goes, everybody wants my route. He's like, I only fly once a week. I fly to Hong Kong. It's like a 12-hour flight or whatever. I said, I go in, I fly, I'm in Hong Kong for a couple of days, and then I come back. That's all I do. And then I hunt.
I mean, like, that's
cool.
A sweet gig.
I live on a lake and I have a killer house and you're building me a really expensive deck and my life's good. My wife, she's an FAA controller. Or what are those people in the thing? That's really stressful job that nobody seems to...
ATC, air traffic controller.
Yeah, she was an air traffic controller. Thank you.
I feel sorry for her.
Yeah, well, back then, maybe it wasn't so bad. That was in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
So anyways... See, we've gone so far left already.
We're getting there.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people can resonate with what we're talking about right now. Like, this podcast was about trade shows, and now we're talking about just getting to the trade show.
we have time to fill.
It's part of the journey. It's part of the journey, right? So, okay.
On my Delta flight, the first one was delayed an entire day, and then it took... up until 30 minutes before they boarded to get me back on the flight. And then on the way back, someone attacks one of the...
That made national news.
Someone attacks someone, the stewardess.
Did we see you sitting down in the chair? Like, were you next to that dude or something? I mean, it was filmed. Somebody filmed it.
I know. There was the direction they filmed. It was just like cut off. I was like one row behind. But like, yeah... There's something about, like, you've been traveling for half a day and you're like trying to sleep on this plane and you wake up in a day's like, yeah, we're gonna land in where is it, Puerto Rico or something?
Because somebody lost it.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
they didn't really know. They're like, maybe he was on some like medication or something.
You know, and just
so the plane lands, you see police like they're not running but like storming in, and then they take this dude out. And I'm like, oh,
wow.
God.
Well, got rid of the bad egg and off you
and
go.
You know what?
What? It was Delta.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, what else?
I still made my flight. That was the only thing.
That's my son.
That was the only thing.
That's a Russell. That's a true Russell to the core. Nothing gets you down, man. You just do what you got to do. It always happens. But sometimes you miss your flight. I mean,
I didn't miss them. It was their fault. Everything was their fault.
I don't know.
I show up to the airports 4 hours early because I'm traumatized.
Well, and we're not too different than that. We are early flyers. Like, we'll get to the airport. Like, okay, so get this. So on the tail end of this journey, of the last one we're going to talk about this week, we went shopping. We went to Chrome Hearts. And then we're like, okay, let's go to the airport. But we're 4 hours early.
And they won't let you sign in.
Well, they wouldn't even let us in the lounge. And then, like, mom said something, and then they let us in. I'm like, cool. Like, hey, we spent a lot of money for these airline card, this credit card that's an airline card. And then they go, well, you have to have this special one. So I pull this other one out, and I go, is this qualify? She goes, well, that's a premium version of that card. Well, okay. So they did let us in.
Yeah, just let us in then.
Yeah, they did. And then, you know, the food's like, it's okay.
But it's free.
The cookies were good. Yeah, you could, if you're into like soda machine, like Coke or Pepsi or whatever, or root beer, you could just stand there and just like OD on that stuff right in their kitchen.
The American Lounge in Dallas has like a full free bar.
Hmm.
And like two, like, there must be like 50K coffee machines that just like whatever you could imagine you want, you can have it. We have it.
The nicest lounge I've ever been in my life so far. We were in London coming back from Heathrow and we got to sit in the Virgin Airlines lounge. Oh, dude. They had like the individual bathrooms with showers.
Yeah.
And like
American has those.
They have a custom chef that like makes you the food. You just don't go pick something. They actually, and then they have a QR code you scan and there's a list of menus of really nice stuff. Like I ordered 5 different things to drink because I was really thirsty.
I guess I was like,
I'll try this and this and this. And they keep bringing this stuff out. And mom's like, what'd you order? I'm like, well, I'm kind of thirsty right now. And I really wanted to try this yogurt thing or whatever. And then I was like, oh, and a chicken sandwich. Okay, I'll have one of those too. Boop. And I'm thinking, like, are we going to have to pay for all this? No, it's all free. It's like, yeah. Wow, man. Here's a couple bucks to the dude that took my glass, you know? So, and they really, the people in that lounge, they were so grateful for $2. You know, you just give them a tip. Just the fact that you thought of them, they're just loving that. So, okay.
Last thing I'll say is if you get an opportunity, I know it's like bougie or whatever, whatever the words these kids these days are using to, you know, like, why would you do it? If you have a layover that's more than 6 hours, try to get into that lounge because there is nothing quite like a shower at an airport.
And a nap.
Especially after a 10-hour flight.
You know,
there's something just supreme about that you won't get anywhere else.
You've convinced me, Calvin, that the next time we got to go somewhere, maybe we'll try flying American. But we got to get the layover where? In Dallas?
Dallas. They actually have 4 lounges.
You know what I was really impressed with? The layovers. So we fly from Seattle. I had to pick a layover spot. We went to Detroit, and I thought, what an armpit, right? But it was the nicest airport I've seen in a minute.
Huh.
Mom said that the toilets, they automate the toilet seat thingy. So it just rolls around and puts a new one on for you. You don't even have to put one on.
Yeah.
But I figured I have such a sweaty butt that it would stick to it anyway. So, but at least I didn't have to use the toilet.
We didn't need to know that.
No, TMI. All right, so let's go. Okay, so we're in Seattle. So okay, to get to the East Coast with a layover, we're gonna land. We're leaving Seattle. Our flight leaves at 6 a.m. That means that's a 3 a.m. roll call for us. So I get up at 3, shower, get all the luggage loaded, all that stuff, and we're at the airport at 4, and then that gives us a couple hours to get through security and all that stuff, plus, you know, hit the lounge, and then, so it's a 3 a.m., so we have a layover in Detroit, which is a really nice airport. Thank you, Detroit, for making that nice. And then we fly off to Providence, Rhode Island. And it's like 4 p.m. their time. So we lose 3 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So then we get to the hotel, which is connected to the convention center. So we're going to Providence, Rhode Island for an event called JLC Live, which stands for the journey. We're 20 minutes in, and here we go.
I was like, we got there eventually. It took 20 minutes.
20 minutes. I don't know. If you didn't like that airport segment, too bad, because I thought that was pretty good. Leave a comment below and let us know what you think. So we
give us your airport stories.
Yeah. So usually before a show, I'm contracted to make an appearance here, there, everywhere. At this particular show, I had like 5 or 6 vendors that I was supposed to make appearances at. So, but I wanted to hit my main sponsors up first, like TimberTech. I wanted to make sure, I wanted to see the layout of the booth. I wanted to see how it was coming along. So we get to the Omni, which is connected to the Providence Convention. I can't remember the name of it. Providence, Rhode Island Convention Center, something like that. And so we have somebody get us our passes. So we meet, actually we walked right in. Like usually they kind of check and make sure you're legit before you go in. But for some reason we were able to hit a door that nobody was monitoring. Somebody had to use the bathroom or something. So we walk in and we find our guy, Jason, and he gave us our passes. And then we checked out a couple booths that we were going to be at. We kind of walked around and got a lay of the layout. And a couple, there's an upstairs and a downstairs. So we kind of went upstairs, found everybody. Okay, so then by that time, it's like 6 or 7 o'clock. And, you know, people, usually on setup days, sometimes there's an orchestrated dinner, sometimes not. So I think we were on our own that night. So we just ended up like getting something at the hotel for $50, you know, or whatever it is. It's not cheap. But we didn't feel like going out and exploring the town. We just had traveled like from 3 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
So, which is at 7, so it's like 4 or 5 o'clock our time. So we've been on the road for over 12 hours. So we crash out. We you know, unpack. But we're only there for 2 days. Well, we left on a Thursday night. The show was Friday and Saturday, and then we left Sunday. So we did the show. Kiki was bending decking with a couple guys, and I'm usually talking. Sometimes they mic me up, and I have one of those speakers. Sometimes I just talk. This time it was just talk. But every time we do this, it gathers a lot of people. So it's kind of cool because people, like some are, you can tell some of them have their own companies. Some of them work for other companies that around the decking industry. But everybody, even though they might do it themselves or whatever, they still want to see it happen. And we had the brand new HeatCon heat forming kits there. So there was a lot of questions around that. And I had a representative from HeatCon come show up for the show too. Mm. So there was a really cool synergy there, right? So we get that all done. And then mom does the bending with one of the guys that built the display. And then we talk about it. And then our time's up there. We go like 2 hours here, 2 hours there. And then we have an hour. So the show was 8 hours the first day, and it was only 6 hours the second day, which limits how many booths we can be in a single day. But, you know, we were with, let's see, we stopped by Regal Ideas, said hi to them for an hour. And then we went to TimberTech. And then Outdoor was there with their aluminum framing system. And then we stopped by Stabila. And Lumber Plus, which is the second part of our journey. And then I'm forgetting about somebody, but I guess it doesn't matter too much. Yes, thank you.
Good guess.
Actually, that was a pretty important vendor that's their backyard. Like they're in Agawam, Massachusetts, maybe? Is that what that is?
Massachusetts has a lot of weird sounding towns.
Okay,
that
so
I spelled nothing like how they sound.
Last year, I actually went to their factory and got the whole tour, which was really cool. This year, I didn't have time to do that again. And, you know, once you see something, usually you don't need to really see it every year. But it was awesome to hang out with the team and the crew and all that stuff. And we're going to have Anthony DeSanto on our show. He works at Fastenmaster. So stay tuned for that one, guys, because we have industry professionals that are going to be on the show. We have some of the top deck builders and, as you've seen, some of the best just framers in general. And it's great. So but today it's just Calvin and I because, like I said before, we kind of had to pivot. Did I even finish talking about why?
I think we got enough. They got enough.
Yeah, we just couldn't quite get the guests lined up. So And I just can't call people and say, hey, you want to be on our show? Like, when? Right now. Like, have a seat. Let's go. You know, that
I'm
kind
sure
of thing.
I'm sure someone would, but like...
Yeah, I'm sure there's a couple people that could have bailed me on.
Probably depends on the day.
I think this is a good substitute for it. Because I like having Calvin on the show. Like, when I have a guest, then he doesn't get to be on the video. And I think it's a great addition. So we got to figure out how we're going to get you more involved on these.
Well, you know, it's not my show.
I can't
really add anything to what you and your guests are talking about because you're beyond my realm of
expertise. But you can always inject. But anyway,
if I have something of value or a question, I do. But yeah, for the most part, I let you just guys.
When you have headphones. Okay, so we do the trade show. So we did have a couple nice dinners. One night we went out with Outdoor and their distributor and talked all things aluminum framing. And a lot, you know, sometimes these dinners, people don't really want to talk a ton about business. So, but Mama's doing a little bit of doing her thing, you know, just getting information, which is always good.
To make it clear, when he says Mom, he means Kiki.
Yes, Kiki. Yeah, and that's not her real...
My mom.
Yep, that's not her real name. But that's
and
what everybody calls her.
Way.
Yeah, that's what everybody calls her. So we do the dinner, and then the next night we hung out with a good friend, Kevin Haney from Haney Construction, and he's a true Viking. He's a real Viking.
Like, I keep hearing about this dude.
He's into Odin, you know? I mean, the whole nine. This guy is legit. Like, it's his heritage and all that. Yeah, pretty cool guy. Huge.
Is he from Norway?
Probably. But we'll find out when we have him on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy I could have called and said, can you be on my podcast in 5 minutes? He'd be like, okay. That's the one I should have called. Anyway, so...
We'll probably watch that episode.
Yeah, we are. Be all into that, huh?
Yeah.
So we'll get there. So we have dinner with Haney one night, and that's always an awesome experience because you always end up on topics that you never knew you'd be talking about. And then we, again, Dad's up at 2:30 on Sunday morning to get us ready to go to the airport for our next part of the journey, which is Lumber Plus. So Lumber Plus is a company that we represent that they make exotic hardwoods. They import a lot of different things, Ios, Ipe, Kumaru, ash. There's all kinds of really cool woods that, and a lot of them are thermally modified. Some of them are not because they can't be, but some of them are. And we use those in our ceilings and our wall features quite often.
By the way, we talk about them a lot, at least once a month on our channel. They're not sponsoring this particular video.
So what we decided to do was, because we're always generating information digitally, we decided that we were going to go down for a few days to Miami and do like a Dr. Dex above, I forget what they call it. It was like above the deck tour. So we went to 6 different residences and one of them was a celebrity. Actually, probably more than one was, but one was a celebrity I'm not going to talk about. Are we doing a bonus feature still on this?
Yeah.
Okay, so we will not talk about that until the bonus feature.
Those are for our nurses tier.
Yes. So that took, like, we were doing, the first day, Mom didn't come. She wasn't feeling it because I think I got her up too early. So when you think about it, we're getting up at 2:30 in the morning, which is like 11:30 p.m. our time.
Yep.
So we're really playing a number on our bodies, right? And some people are really good about adjusting to time and some are not. And
the difference is sleeping on the plane.
That or just knowing that you got to go grind, and if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. So that's what kind of motivated me, was just get my butt up and go. Thank God the alarm clock on the iPhone works so well. Oh, and by the way, I downloaded a clock app because I didn't realize that the iPhone actually has a clock app with an alarm clock on it. I didn't know this for like until about a year ago. And one of my friends is like, dude, there's a freaking clock app on your phone. It tells you all this. I'm like, what? Show me. So we pull out our phones and he's like, clock. And I'm like, no way. It gives you the time zone references and everything, just like this pay app does.
I hate for it?
Well, no, but it's one of those ones that's put stupid ads. And for some reason, I can't trust it because it messed me up one of these trips. It's the only time I use it. And so it's still on my phone. I haven't deleted it, but I probably need to. So I'm only trusting the clock app now.
You always use a flashlight app, too, I noticed. There's a flashlight button on the front of the iPhone now.
Yeah. Well, I found that one. Like, when you click the screen, it's right down on the lower left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use that one all the time. But sometimes when my phone's already open, I'll just hit the flashlight app.
You know, you can drag down and press the button.
You know, maybe we'll do a podcast about iPhone features. Because there's probably enough of them to...
Do you know there's a level, built-in level?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, no, I use an app for that.
There's a built-in one.
Is there?
Yeah.
I'm tempted to pull my phone out right now and look at it.
And they updated the calculator, I think... You might be able to do construction things.
I have a construction app.
I know.
And I paid like $25 for it. It's the most expensive app I've ever paid for on my phone. But I do, you know what? I've gotten my $25 out of it. And I only use it for really one thing, and that's finding joist centers.
Yeah.
But it puts it in fractions instead of decimal points, mm-hmm. which is, I don't even know what the word is, but it's mandatory. That for me, because I don't build in metrics. I don't build decks in metric. I don't know if you could pay me enough to do that. A bunch of people just got pissed off. But let me ask you a question: how come in Canada, a foreign country from us, how come they have a metric system but they don't use it for measurement?
I don't know. I didn't know even that.
And then I got all these people in Europe going, dude, you're archaic. I'm like, yeah, build this. Then tell me that. So anyways.
We were born here. That's what they taught us.
I know. It's not my fault.
By the time you can be able to realize and complain about it, you're an adult.
I actually...
And you already know it.
We came up with our own fractional system on the job site to minimize mistakes. Because 16ths can be a little monotonous. Like,
you have to count the
9/16, 11/16. Yeah, you kind of have to count it.
No, get real close.
But if you just take it, if you just only break the inch down to eighth inch instead of 16ths, and then you just add a plus or a minus to it, it makes things a lot easier.
I've seen a comment say, "Oh, we do that, except it's just strong or weak or something."
Right, but. Are you going to put an S and a W after your measurement, or are you going to put a plus or a minus? What's easier?
Plus or minus.
Hey, that's my boy. Not only can he make awesome music, but he understands.
Well, to me, it's just logical.
Well, okay. And that's great. If you can remember SW, but if I'm calling out 20 measurements to you, a plus and a minus is actually a lot.
It seems just like more as a system, you're dealing with numbers, a plus and a minus.
Yeah. And that's
more like... Fits in with
and
numbers.
I'm not judgmental here. It's not metric and it's not imperial. It's just language, plus minus.
It's the doctor.
It's the doctor's method. If you guys want to learn, take my master class of deck board bending. Because that's where we're going next.
Nothing to do.
Okay, I know, but take it anyways.
Yeah,
it's only $999. You got this. Go now. Okay, so where are we? So we landed. So we get up at 2:30. We get to the airport. We skip the lounge because by the time we got to the airport, we had like an hour before our flight. So sometimes, you know, if you only got an hour to go in to the lounge, you're only really going in there for 40 minutes anyways. Because who wants to be at their gate less than 20 minutes before boarding?
Even less, because you have to travel to the gate. It takes like 15 minutes sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So, unless you're going in to grab some chocolate chip cookies and then bounce, that's about it. That's the only reason I would go.
You have lounge access.
I always have lounge access.
Because some of those you pay for.
Yep. They wanted to charge me $50 if mom didn't pull out her credit card. I'm like, what about if I use this card? And by that time, mama had her card out already. So, they're like, okay, we're going to just scan this one. I was like, fine, because I paid an extra $300 just so she can have that same card. You know, but it's probably worth it. If she travels six times, then you're breaking even on the deal. But she doesn't ever eat the food. Hardly ever. She might have two pieces of cheese and maybe, I don't know, something healthy, you know?
I've got like three drinks and like, but there's usually a buffet and...
I know.
One of everything.
Sometimes if they have the right eggs and all that. Oh, and there is a shower in the Delta one too. I forgot. There is. I just never done it.
The American one has a nap room.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So did the... Cool. Yeah, nap rooms are good.
They call it the quiet room.
Ooh, special. Okay, so we're at the gate. We fly to Miami and okay. I shouldn't say this, but I'm never flying to Miami again. I'm flying to Fort Lauderdale from now on because the Miami, because we, well, if you, okay, here's the deal. If you have to rent a car, don't go to Miami because we had to walk a half a mile to our luggage and then a mile to the tram that takes us to the rental car place. It is so jacked up right now. I won't go back next year. If I go back to Miami next year, I'm flying to Fort Lauderdale. I'm not going to Miami. If I have to rent a car, it is so screwed up. I couldn't walk by the time I was done carrying all our luggage and crap. I was limping really hard. Like I have a bum leg because and we could talk about that one of these days. The injuries I've sustained over the years from working, but it's one of those times where my handicap placard would have come in handy if they had a reason to have a handicap placard at the airport where you could benefit from it, but you don't.
Not really.
And you know, everybody looks at me because I don't like have a fake leg or anything. So every time I sit down in a handicap chair at the airport next to the gate, I feel like I'm being judged. Every time, because I look normal.
They don't know.
They don't know.
You'll never see these people again.
And mom's like, so what? You got to pull out your handicap card, which I carry on in my wallet all the time now. So I have a handicap card. So if I do, like, let's say I decide to park. I know this sounds crazy because I still work. I just work at a slower pace than I used to because I have a bad leg. Okay. And it's stitched together and I can still walk and I'm still grateful and all that. But by Friday, I'm usually not feeling too great. Mm-mm. So anyways, okay. So don't fly into Miami if you got to rent a car, unless you want to walk. If you're in for a couple of miles of walking, then go for it. Me personally with luggage, I wasn't not into that because my carry-on weighs almost as much as my suitcase because I had two tripods, three batteries, three phones, all my wires and connectors, all the wires for connecting all the batteries, my drone, and then a bunch of crap on the other side, and I can barely lift my carry-on into the overhead bin. I'm surprised the overhead bin, that's why I put it across for me, so if it crashes down, it hits somebody else and not me in the head. Just
Man,
kidding.
You did a whole spiel about the one
I want my own.
The one above your seat should be the one that you have, and then you end up taking it and putting it on the other side. What are you talking about?
I know. That's crazy.
Halvetto.
Yeah. No, actually, yeah, no, it's like, man, mom's carry-on is so light. I'm like, oh, this must be yours. I can tell just by the weight, because we have exact matching carry-ons. I bought these really cool, like, metal things. I got suckered on Instagram, and I was like, yeah, I want these. These are cool. And they are. They are really cool. I really am happy with them. But, you know, those Instagram ads will get you almost, you know, if you let them sucker you in. But this is the top one, number one selling portable carry-on in the world. I'm like, oh, crud. I'm looking at it. I'm like, Oh, it's got a built-in cup carrier and a little handle for your iPhone for watching movies while you're sitting in the airport. And you can charge your batteries on it and all this stuff. I'm like, Okay. And it's cool. Oh, and it comes in black? Buy now, you know? I was like, oh, I got to get mom one. For Christmas, you know, why not? And so that wasn't a curse. I didn't curse. That wasn't cursing.
I'm being safe.
Okay.
I have one that like folds out into a closet.
Yeah, that's kind of cool too if you're going to pack clothes in it.
That was useful. I took the one I had before, was just a normal one. But when I got this one, I traveled to when me and my now wife were living in separate countries. She's in Brazil. When I'd go to Brazil, we would travel to different towns within
Brazil.
You know, and only like maybe we'd visit here for a couple days or, you know, whatever. And I could leave my big suitcase at where the main place we're staying, take the small one for me and her.
Mm, cool.
So we'd have enough clothes for those days.
Just one carry-on. Yeah, I couldn't fit anything else in my carry-on because it was full of electronics. And on this trip, actually, I wasn't sure if I was going to use all that stuff, but I did end up setting up some time lapses and some tripods and different scenarios and stuff. So I was glad I had it, but man, is it heavy. Okay. So we get to Miami and we do this tour and we're running and gunning. Like day one, like I said, mom didn't come, but we were on this, and I just can't believe the wealth of this place. The salespeople set us up with these builds that these people are using these exotic woods in, right? So the first one's on a 44th floor penthouse with on the water in Miami with a killer view. And I was just like,
with
man.
A deck?
Yeah, there's outside part of a deck. The decking alone took them 3 days to get it up the elevator and into position inside the house in this little room before they exit in onto their outdoor deck and pool.
3 days.
Just 3 days just to get the decking alone, not the framing. Just deck boards. And they were composite, so they were really heavy. I was like, ugh, yuck.
They couldn't, like, crane it up there or something?
No. No, it was probably too tall. So we go tour that, and it's hotter than mother out there, you know? And I've got a skull cap on. So I've got a tan line. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it?
I can. I don't know if the camera will.
Can you guys see it? All right. So I probably should have wore a hat, but you can't really wear hats when you're on video because it shadows your eyes and you look kind of like we've learned.
Like you're doing right now?
Yeah, exactly. It looks like this. I can't tell because I can't see a screen right now. But so then we go for a couple more days and day two, we went to 3 residences. And then day 3, we went to 2 residences. And then we were supposed to film some stuff at Lumber Plus and we did that. And one of the residences, mom found out who it was a celebrity house, and mom found out who the celebrity was. It's like, how'd you do that? And she goes, somebody let it slip. I'm like, ooh, good info. They wouldn't let us inside the house. We only shot outside the house. And then the last day was a free day. Cause they wanted us to come back. I'm like, guys, sorry. I'm tired. And two, I promised my wife we would go shopping. So that's exactly what we did. We went to this little Cuban joint that we really like and had a quick appetizer. Went over and saw our friend George at Chrome Hearts Miami. Thank you, George. Get this. This brand is so exclusive that I've been to 6 locations and they're like, we will not make you a wallet chain. Sorry, they're banned. We can't do it right now. We're not allowed. I was like, I just want a wallet chain for my wallet to hook to my pants and hook to my wallet. And they're like, nope, we're not allowed. I'm like, really? So Hawaii, let's say I was in Hawaii, Honolulu, they wouldn't do it. Vegas, all 3 stores, they wouldn't do it. Where else was I? Somewhere else. Huh?
New York?
They wouldn't do it. So I go to George. And I'm saying, man, I'm really frustrated. Nobody will order me a wallet chain. He goes, why not? I'm like, because they say no. He goes, that's ridiculous. Come on, let's get. And so we get online. He's like, here's your options. What do you want? So he let me order one. So in 6 months, I'll have a wallet chain.
6 months?
Yeah, 4 to 6 months. It's all hand custom made, each piece. Have to prepay for it.
I get it.
So it'll be, it's kind of like, how long did it take you to get your guitar? 2 years?
Yeah.
All right. So 6 months ain't so bad, right?
It takes me a couple weeks to get rings done, some rings.
Yeah. So there you go. So we found a couple pieces. I think I bought this hat. That's what I got. And then what's that?
I don't have anything.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not
bud.
Into that though.
Yeah. If you were, maybe you would.
Why buy me a pedal instead? That's what I'm into.
Well, I wasn't at a pedal location. Besides, I don't know. Yeah.
No, you would never go to one.
If you're not into it, It's fine. Nobody knows what it is anyway. So it's just something that Mom and I are into that
That's
we really
not true.
We really appreciate.
There's been a few times where people are like, nice this, nice that.
Yeah, actually, I was at the airport, and this kid really liked my shirt. And he came straight up to me, man. He's like, dude, your shirt. And I was inspired because he's like 12 years old, right? And he's like, what do you do for a living? I was like, I build custom decks, man. And he kind of looked perplexed. I go, pull out your phone. So he pulls out his phone. I go to Instagram. He goes to Instagram. I go look up Dr. Dex. He does that. I go, now click follow. And he did. And I said, this is what I do. I said, scroll for years and you'll get a gist of what I do and why. And I said, you like my glasses too? Because I was wearing a pair of Chrome Hearts. He goes, no way, they have. I'm like, yeah. I said, there's a lot. And I didn't go any further than that. I wasn't going to go, oh, you like my hat? You like my wallet? You like, you know, the kid inspired me to like share my information with him because.
And gain a new follower.
Hey, for life. And I don't know, I lose
bros
right now I lose
your points.
I lose more than I gain right now, so I don't know if it really matters, but it was a cool experience. It really was. It was it's all about a brand. And so I think you're right. I think it's becoming more known. It's coveted, you know, but I don't know. I was into it before rappers and you know, movie stars and everybody else was repping it. So I'm old school, and that's why George ordered that for me, because he knew I wasn't going to go down the block and resell it for more money. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep it. You know, I'm going to rock it.
Yeah.
So he did that. So Chrome Hearts Miami was fun. You got to make an appointment. You just can't walk into the joint. They have it on the lock and key. They have a security guard at the gate that will let you in if you have an appointment.
Mm.
It's very limited on how many people they will allow in the store at any given time.
Yeah.
Kind of exclusive thing, but then it was off, and then we had a rental car. So because of the experience that we had getting the car, we knew we had an hour before we could get to the check-in counter at Delta. We knew we had an hour of returning the car and getting to the, just getting before, not even through security, just getting to the, so we could check in our bags. We knew it. So off we go. So it's, you know, it's early still. It's like 1 o'clock. Our flight doesn't leave till like 5:55 or something like that. And to prove your point, Calvin, our plane actually didn't leave until 6:30, but we still landed on time.
Yeah.
But we did have a headwind. The flight was scheduled for 6.5 hours. I'm like, 6.5 hours, man, for a return flight. I get it. Usually it's around six hours, you know, because you come down in about 5.5 hours, but because of headwind, sometimes it takes longer to fly home back to Seattle than it does from Seattle to south. So we're like, okay, cool. But they still made it on time, you know, even though we were leaving late. So back to the airport, got rid of the car, huffed our luggage to the tram, and then to the gate, which was just ridiculously a long distance away from where the tram dropped us off. The cool thing was security was right next to Delta. So, and we have, we are TSA certified. We don't have World like you do, but we have TSA certification and we're pre-check and all that. So, and we have clear. So we bumped all that and got us right through security, which was kind of nice. And they were looking at something. Usually on the return, for some reason, out of Seattle, they never check my luggage, my carry-on stuff. But usually when I'm coming home, there's something in there that they got to look at.
I was wondering, like, you take all that stuff. Do they stop you at TSA?
I'd say it's a 50-50 shot. Usually I got 3 or 4 iPhones in there. I've got a couple tripods, a drone, and all this electronics crap. So they look at it really hard, and I could see that they're like twisting their heads sideways, and then they're talking to you. There's two of them, and they're both looking at the same screen, and she has her head cocked. And then I don't know what it was that they found, but they realized, okay, we know what that is. And then my bags came through. So it sat there hovering in that little cubicle that you're not supposed to put your hand in, you know, so everybody's waiting for you. And it's a, do not put your hand in here. We'll chop it off, you know,
yeah.
But you're just wait. It's like, it's already been through. My bag's just sitting there and I want it, and I can't have it because it hasn't rolled past the imaginary laser beam lightsaber that'll cut your arm off if you put your arm up in there.
Right.
You know?
So back to these... What was the point of you going to all these places?
So
you said it was to film some stuff.
Well, JLC Live was a trade show.
Right.
And then we flew to Miami to do content with Lumber Plus, and that was more of me introducing people to above a deck. So we're not looking at the floor, we're looking at the walls and the ceilings. And these houses did not disappoint, man. There was, I'll share some images if you want to toss them on the...
Is it going to be like a web series or videos?
Yeah, it's going to be like a web series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think we got like enough for six different series.
Episodes?
Like episodes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have a whole film crew and all that, or what?
Well, we had one guy filming, and we used my microphones that I brought. They had some, but I just had them available, so... And then Marcelo, he's like the creative director. He's in marketing for Lumber Plus. Both these guys were. So the gentleman filming and this other gentleman. So there was those two, me and then Kiki came along too. So she kind of helped me stay on point with some of the commenting and other things that the guys keep forgetting about, that she was like, hey, you didn't remind to get a signed release from the homeowner, which is kind of important.
Yeah.
And she did that three times while we were there. And he's like, oh, what would I do without you? I'd be in so much trouble with marketing if I didn't come back with these papers signed, you know? And I was just like, dude, get with it. But we were all tired. I mean, it was a lot of freaking work. So it could be like one or two houses might be half an hour apart, but some of the houses were an hour apart. And I don't know why they did it this way, but they stretched it out so that we were like, the last house of the day was the furthest away from where we had to go back, which kind of sucked. Because, like, we're driving further away from our return location so that, like, the last house we're at is the furthest away. We should have gone there first so that we were closer to... But anyway, it just ended up...
Marcelo!
Yeah, Marcelo! You know Marcelo. You've met him a couple times online.
I'm joking.
Yeah.
If you ever watch.
And Andre. It was Marcelo and Andre were the two gentlemen. Andre was running the camera. And it was interesting because they had an A7X Sony. And that's like a step down from this camera right here.
Actually, no.
It's not?
No.
It's the same?
It's the same.
Oh, it's pretty much the same.
With a different box.
Okay. It. Fair enough. So they rented that for the trip, and they rented a bunch of lenses and filters and stuff. And they said, it doesn't make sense for us to own this because we only do this once or twice a year. You know?
Well.
So I was like, well, cool, man. So they went ahead. We got all that shot. I don't know when it's going to be cut or edited or when we can, like, show links to it or whatever. But besides that.
Send it my way.
Yeah.
Some work.
I told him that. I said, next time we could have Calvin come and help shoot, you know, second angles.
Only if my wife can.
Well, we'll figure it out. We got to figure out the schedule. So that was a trip. It was all work. Because the last day we spent 2 hours at one designer store, and that was it. Not even 2 hours, like an hour, hour and a half. So... now we're back and it's, the weekend. We came back and then the next day we bent deck boards for our project that we're on right now.
How much do you have to pay to get into these places?
I don't have to pay anything because I have a credit card that gives me access.
To the shows?
Oh, to the trade show? Most of the time I think you can get a ticket to get in from one of your sponsor, or like let's say
I don't have any.
No, that's what I meant. Like, if you don't have a sponsor, the sponsors will still put out, hey, click here, sign up, and we'll give you free access to the show. So I don't know if anybody ever pays to get in, but I think it's like $25 if you don't have online access and you can't get onto a webpage with, like, let's say James Hardy or TimberTech or somebody like that says, hey, if you want to come to the show, we'll pay for your entry fee. You just got to go online and fill out a form and then go to ticketing when you get there and they'll just give you your pass.
Mm, okay.
Now, what I like to have, I like to have full access when I get there. which means I'm asking a vendor that's at the show to please give me one of their vendor passes for Kiki and I so that we can get in early, we can stay late, and we can get in pre-show. So we can film whatever we want, talk to whoever we want, and scope things out. So I always have, now the coolest pass I've ever had before at IBS was a press pass. Because a press
pass gets you everywhere.
That gets you everywhere, and it also gets you in the special press room where they have like treats and snacks and internet connections and all kinds of cool stuff and a place to chill if you need to.
Yeah.
So, but it hasn't been on our priority list lately. I am a published author with some magazines and things like that, but I haven't really done that flex and said, and then, because what you have to do is you got to get the publisher to submit paperwork proving your claim.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not willing to do that, then you're out. And the current magazine that is for our trade, I don't think they like me very much. So I don't think I would ever go to those guys and say, hey, can I get a press pass? Because I don't think they'd give me one. I just don't think that that's a thing. That not everybody can like you, you know? And they're definitely one of the groups of people that don't. So the other thing that I was going to talk about for this episode was deck board bending, but I think we're like out of time. I think it could be another episode.
I think it could be a bonus thing depending on how deep you go into it.
Well, because
that's why I didn't want to film it, because like we've done it before, and what
we offer a class,
which, and what more could you say about it other than like, stuff that's already in the class?
I think
well, people would be pissed because it's like, well, what are your numbers? What do you mean?
Well, how come I paid $1,000 for it, and now you just told everybody on a podcast how to do it? But
mm-hmm.
I'm not showing you in this video, nor verbally, how I do it. You have to pay for that information. It's coveted, in my opinion, still. And people, we still get a couple people a year that pay for it, you know? But I was going to go over a verbal of what I do and how I do it and why and that kind of thing, and maybe talk about temperatures and things like that.
I wouldn't give that out.
Well, then maybe it's not a video at all. Maybe it's
a goal. That's a goal. That's the real thing. That's the real info.
Well, do you want to finish up the trade show part then? Like what it was like or
yeah,
things like that? All right. Okay, so the JLC Live Day 1, there's a lot of influencers there from all over the country. There's a lot of great tool companies there. I think that the big hammer companies were there. Stiletto, I think, was there. You know, the sad part for me about the trade show is I like to go, and I like to go and walk the show, but I don't have time to walk the show anymore because I'm so busy working. So I'm constantly in booths. So usually sometimes I'll go early. I mean early. I'll go in like an hour to an hour and a half early, and I will walk the aisles bare. So there's nobody to talk to. And I can just kind of go look and see. And then occasionally I'll catch somebody like setting up their booth really early in the morning. And if it's something I'm interested in, then I will chat with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get a chance to do that this year either because Mom and I were running and gunning so hard that I needed every extra 10 minutes of sleep I could get, you know, to feel like I was on point for the show. So it's a lot of energy because you always got to be up because you have so many people. And here's what it's like being an influencer or a brand ambassador to a product and people know who you are. You're constantly having somebody come up to you and smile and want to shake your hand. And I don't know. I honestly, over 100 times did people come up to me like that. I have no idea who they are. And they shook my hand and said, thank you for the content. Thank you so much. We love your content. Thank you so much for just being you. Please don't ever stop doing what you do. I got that so many times that it almost became numb to me. Like, what do you say? I mean, just smile and say thank you. I'm grateful. But it was a really awesome feeling to have that many great people come up to you and say that. And then get this. there was one guy that came to the show, and I posted a picture once of when I was 19 years old and I was working out and I was really buff, and I had these special sunglasses on called gargoyles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Late 80s. And I was wearing a pair of these ones called 44 Blues. And there's this football player named Brian Bosworth. He was a total bad, right? Oops, sorry. He was a total bad butt. He was such a good college football player, but he was destroying his body at the same time. But he convinced the Seattle Seahawks to hire him to play like middle linebacker or something like that. And he had these sunglasses that were called 44 Blues. And I had a pair of them. They were cool, man. I was cool. I was cool like Brian Bosworth. I even had the blue and red hair for a while.
Orbit.
Yeah. Orbit.
Yes.
Sorry. I don't know. So anyways, this guy comes up to me and he saw this photograph that I had put on stories or something when I was 19 years old. And I was like, ugh. And he goes, dude, do you still have your 44 Blues? I'm like, oh man, I wish. I wish I still had my 44 Blues. And I probably do, but they're probably scratched up in some bin somewhere. Then I won't, you, that's like the kind of thing you never find until I'm dead and gone and you're going through all my crap trying to decide what to sell, what to keep, and what to throw away. And he goes, well, I used to work for Gargoyles. I'm like, no kidding. He goes, yeah, I still have a lot of old pairs, brand new, in the box. I'm like, my eyes must have lit up because he knew what I was after. He goes, I don't know if I have any 44 Blues, but I'm going to go check. I'm going to come back tomorrow. I'm going to give you a pair of sunglasses. I'm like, dude, no way. Really? Awesome. Shake his hand. Give him a chest bump, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The next day he comes back. He's like, hey, doctor. I'm like, hey, man, I didn't remember. I just met 3,000 people, and I didn't remember who he was or what he did until I saw the box. I'm like,
until he was getting something.
He was giving me something. Then I remembered him.
Like, oh yeah.
But it was like, he goes, hey man, I didn't find a pair. He said, you can't have mine. I'm like, yeah. He said, but I've got these really cool, safety glasses. They're crystal clear. I'm like, no way. Those are gargoyle safety glasses. He goes, yeah. I go, those are big. Can I say that?
Oh.
That's what I said, though. I go, those are so cool. So he gave them to me. And he goes, and check these out. Brand new pair of black gargoyle sunglasses. Still in the box, still in the case, still have wrapper on them.
From the 80s?
Yeah. I'm like, do I even want to wear these? I was like, oh man. And then he goes, and I don't have the 44 Blues, but I have this smaller pair of blue gargoyles that kind of were a smaller version of the bigger ones. And I just took them because I'm like, yeah, man. I mean, I'm grateful. So he gave me three pairs of glasses. And I was like, what do I have for you? Oh, and that's it. So I was at the Fasten Master booth.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you ever use Fasten Master? He's like, yeah, all the time. I go, you want some free stuff? He's like, sure. So I'm like, hey, Sean, come here. So I give this guy everything he needs. Like, so they went through and they started just shopping inside the booth and they're giving him all kinds of stuff. So he reached out later and thanked me for the product because I got him hooked up with Fasten Master product. I'm like, are you kidding me? Thank you for the sunglasses. I'm so grateful. I said, I will tag and definitely let you know when I'm wearing them. Like, I'm going to wear those clear safety glasses all the time because everybody's going to be jealous because you can't get them. You just can't, you cannot get, well, you might be able to find them on eBay. And that's what he said. If I wanted another pair of 44 Blues, I'm going to have to go to eBay and probably pay $500 for them. So I'm like, eh, probably not. Maybe if they're Chrome Hearts, I might. But anyway. Okay. So that was an exciting part of my trip, but I think the best thing for me is like, so I'll be contracted. Let's say, okay, so I have an hour at Regal, 2 hours at Outdoor, two, and then at 11 to one, a 2 hour stint at TimberTech. Cause we want to do the premium time slot in the most impressive thing that we do. And that's deck board bending. So mom was bending boards in the booth inside of a jig. And then I did some freeform art with a friend, with my Viking friend.
Yeah.
And we made a knotted table. Like we tied a deck board in a knot, and then I brought it up and turned it into like a part that stands. So like a freestanding little mini table, because it was just a narrow board. And then we took and we wound up a piece, and then I stretched it out into like just a sculpture. And those were two of the most interesting things inside the TimberTech booth. People kept going up and touching them and wanted to, like, oh, look at this, you know? So it was kind of fun.
Next time, get your Viking friend to make like Mjolnir, the Thor's hammer or something.
Huh. All right. Well, you give me a design and we'll try to make it.
Let me just... It's a hammer.
You know what I made one time? I made this part that wrapped around my arm and it had a sharp end, so it looked like a weapon. So when you put it on and you could grab onto it, like you could really jab somebody with it and really hurt someone. It was like seriously a weapon.
Yeah.
And I didn't even mean to. It just ended up that way. And so I had it at a trade show and I'm like walking around with this thing like I'm some kind of like mercenary or whatever. And people were just digging it.
Mm.
So I think if I made it out of dark hickory though, and really put a sharp point on it, like people would probably pay me for that. So
I don't know.
Get your PVC knives here.
Right.
Impalement, you know, you could use it as a digger in the garden. It's a garden digger.
Yeah.
Or a stabber. Ugh. Okay, and so I gave TimberTech our premium time slot, and then after one, things kind of dive off. Sometimes people go to lunch, that kind of thing. So day one, though, is still really popular, so after 1 o'clock, it dives off a little bit. We went over to Lumber Plus to hang out with them, just to talk about wall features, and still had a few people coming in, saying hi and all that. It's always cool when you draw people into a space that you're working with that client or whatever, and then it just puts more people in the booth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended the day at Stabila, and they were upstairs, so I shot some videos with those guys, and then my friends from Squidjig were across the way. I don't work with them, but they're just cool people. Sven?
Get your limited Dr. Dick Squidjigs set to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see how that...
The backstock.
That's segued in. So he got rid of all his. So realistically now, the squid jigs we have left, is that's it. There is no more, and there probably will not be any more after that. So these are truly limited edition squid jigs.
There's like 15 left.
We have 15 left?
Yeah.
Because I kept a bunch because I was doing some stuff at work with them and thinking I was going to use them. But I do have a couple more sets. How much are they? Like $50?
$25, $35.
Oh, really? You went low on those, huh?
Well, you got to be competitive.
How much is this? Well, yeah, but they're specifically branded. So, and they're black. I mean, dang, that's the coolest color out there.
Well, you let me do.
So yeah.
You want to increase it.
Wow.
Heard it here first.
Maybe I'll go buy them back. That's a pretty sweet deal. I think
throwing away money.
They cost more than that. I think they cost more than that cost. So, if you want some really cheap squid jigs, where do we go?
It's in the description of the YouTube, but it's a...
Big something?
It's Dr. Dex Big Cartel or something.
Big Cartel. So, go to BigCartel/Dr. Dex, DRDECKS, if you want to get a really cheap pair of squid jigs. Wow, I didn't know.
They're not cheap. They're the same price as a new one would be.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
Well, okay, but normally, to be honest, because they're a special edition and they're engraved, they would cost more than that, normally. I think we had them for like $50 for a while. So now they're half that.
I don't know, dude.
Well, value goes down. You know what? When I realized I really had finally made it in my town, was I used to give out really nice sport fit shirts like these. Okay, like these aren't cheap. These cost like $15 a piece at least before print.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like $15 to $20. And Mom and I were at Value Village one day, and I'm just rolling through some racks of shirts. And I open and I go, no way. And one of my Dr. Dex shirts was at Value Village, brand new, still had the tags on it, and it was selling it for $6. And I look at Kiki and I'm like, it cost me more than $6 to make this shirt, and it's brand new.
Nice.
Should I buy it back? She's like, no, put it on the rack. I'm like, okay. It was blue, so I was like, I don't really want it, you know? That was a funny story, though. So, okay. So I guess that was our trip. That was our airport stories. So let me know below if you get what you guys think. I know there's people out there that are going to listen to this that can relate.
There's other people out there who's going to listen to this and turn it off.
Can you like
after 20 minutes?
Let me ask you. It's like so if you're just listening to this podcast, right?
Yeah.
There's no way to comment unless you go to YouTube, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So you got to go to YouTube to comment. So if you're going to do the energy, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not watching it and you go to our YouTube channel just to make a comment, which I'm grateful for, then at least click the subscribe button while you're there. Right?
I think most of them are.
Okay. Well, regardless, we appreciate you guys for listening. Stay tuned for our bonus feature. If you subscribe to our bonus feature, stay tuned. It's coming up. Calvin, hit that music.
Oh, my God.